You're on.
Chris, before we start.
Yeah, hold on. Let's, cheers. Oh, cheers.
Are we on?
Oh, yeah, oh, we're on. We're on.
Crap. Hey, welcome. Hold on, let me have a sip first.
All right.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio podcast that explores the world of comic book culture. We are your travel guides.
Travel guides. Yeah, that's us.
I'm Walt.
I'm Chris.
And today, I think, Chris, what we want to talk about, listen, the idea came to me a couple of shows ago. One of our commenters mentioned that he didn't like hearing, you know, when we were trying to be pep rally guys.
Pep rally.
Was it that show? Where we kind of, I think it was that show, or might have been.
Yes, I think you're right.
Where I mentioned that I won't be doing shows.
I think you did mention something like that.
Yeah.
Why won't you? Refresh my memories again.
Well, I said at that time that I wouldn't be doing the large footprint shows with the massive.
Right. Like the
cash,
Fan Expo.
Fan Expo.
Style
New York,
shows.
New York,
yeah.
And all that stuff. Because I wasn't, as a businessman, I wasn't sure of the response to patrons coming into the comic.
Right.
Right? So I know that the hotel rates won't be cheaper. I know that the table costs won't be
cheaper.
No. I know that the payroll blasted those guys won't be cheaper.
I wanted to actually get work and get paid for it.
But, yeah, but what I'm worried about is that people won't come.
Right.
Right?
That's fair.
And, you know, and so I don't know. In that sense, I thought maybe I'll wait those first couple shows, see if they do bounce back big time rather than going in. So, you know, and the commenter goes, yeah, like I don't like hearing your prognosis on shows.
Right.
Not necessarily us going to shows.
Prognosis negative.
Negative, right. So I thought, you know what, and then he got me thinking, and I hate him for it. Shows weren't all that bad.
No, okay. So first of all,
shows were good.
I think first of all, we need to realize that. I think, and I'm going to include you in this.
All right.
We as comic book goers,
Usually,
once we get to the show and we walk around for 2 hours, we're like, "What am I doing here? Why am I here?
Right.
Drudgery. I'm not getting the deals I want or whatever." Right? Every time I go to a show, I think, "Oh, why did I come to this?"
Mm-hmm.
But I won't miss it.
Yeah,
I mean, I won't miss. I won't not
won't
go to
not
a
go
show.
To the show, I know.
I'll always
know.
Go.
You'll bitch about
I'll
it.
I'll bitch about it every single time.
But it's funny. It's funny because I'm a little bit older than you, and I remember going to the shows mid-80s, 84, 80, 83, 85, whatever. That's kind of when I started going to shows. Then I started doing them probably around 84, 85, and then the bigger ones in the late 80s, and then all the ones in the U.S. The only show I never did, well, obviously I didn't do stuff like Phoenix. And,
right, WonderCon.
But I'm talking about the bigger, more established shows at that time. The only show we never did was San Diego just because of the costs, and I'm not that great a flyer.
Well, right? And you know what? That's one of the few shows I've never been to.
Right.
One of the big shows.
Yeah. But New York was fine.
Yeah.
I did that a few times.
Yeah. And Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago was great. We did that every year.
Yep.
Philly.
Wizard Boston.
World. Boston. Motor City every year.
Oh, yeah.
You liked Pittsburgh.
I at least love going to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Con.
Pittsburgh was a great show. Yeah. A lot of great. You know what I liked about Pittsburgh? It was small enough that you could get lots of mom and pop dealers there.
Right, yeah.
But big enough that some of the bigger names, bigger named artists and bigger names of publishers. Now, Marvel and DC wouldn't show up, but, you know, Image might be there. Dark Horse might be there, that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I used to love going to that show.
So I wanted to kind of spend a little bit of time kind of talking about, you know, what is great about shows and what we should look forward to when the shows do come back. Because I think most of my memories over the last, 35 years of shows has been like super positive.
So let me ask you this.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
I just hated like the setup.
Okay, so as a
no, that's not true. Hold on. I would stress.
Yeah.
About the teardown.
Oh yeah.
The teardown was as a vendor. I'm talking as a vendor. I hope most listeners probably as consumers going in as fans. But oh my goodness, because you have to go get that goddamn van. And wait with those other jabrones trying to get in line and people trying to cheat the system and people trying to... And there was always this goddamn... Chris, at Fan Expo. So it was like, I won't mention names, but there's a couple of dealers and we always had this kind of contest. So you had to go, you had to tear down your booth.
Yep.
So you had to send a guy to the marshalling yard where you had your huge truck.
Right.
And that was like 3 kilometers away.
Yeah. 'Cause it was
2 miles away.
It wasn't in the, it wasn't in right. the building.
No. And you had to sit there until the guy at the dock phones the marshalling yard and says, hey, let Big B down. Their booth is ready.
Right.
And so the criteria for calling your booth ready was kind of loose. Right? Because obviously you can't have your whole booth over under the thing.
No.
So they said, hey, you got to show. So you kind of had to lie.
Yeah. And you had to be a little bit. You had to move a few boxes around,
call the guy to the wrong booth. And call, you know what I mean? It's yeah, like, hey, here's yeah. my booth. And like 3 little things.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, you're on your way. And then it would be like, and so I'm at the marshalling yard. And there's like 6 or 7. And it's like,
remember
the good, the bad, the ugly, the scene where everybody's yeah. looking at each other with their eyes?
The
graveyard scene.
Yeah.
Everybody looks, you know, and so we're all like waiting and yeah, we're all yeah, like, yeah. And then you hear that. Oh, I don't want to sit down. Jabron Comics.
Yeah.
Right. And then everybody would look at Jabron Comics and they go, see you later, sucker.
See you, sucker. Right? Yeah.
So basically his, and then what the other, the rest of us that are there,
yep.
what we're saying is, how come my guys can't?
What's going on?
Why can't they trick the guy at
and
the
then,
dock?
And then you're calling, then you're calling your guys.
And then
what,
of course,
what are you doing?
Then he's going, why are you calling me? I'm trying to get the booth broken yeah. down. It's like a, Three Stooges episode or something like that.
One of the best. What's okay? Has there ever been teardowns? Awful, always.
Awful.
No matter what. Okay,
yeah.
But let's talk about. The setup.
Setup.
Has there ever been a good setup in your opinion?
I never minded the setup so much. But they're always work, but you didn't mind them. Because Chris, the setup is like sunrise.
Oh.
It's like at the beginning. You know, the expectations are that exactly the birds are chirping, the sun is rising,
yep.
it's a fluffy white cloud.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, we're going to have such a great con.
This is going to be a great time.
Oh, my God. There's going to be so much business.
Yeah,
and we're going to sell so many books. And,
and
it's like rose.
And you're
you got
fresh
your rose-colored
daisy.
Glasses
yeah, yeah.
on. And so setup is always like optimistic time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the teardown is like, how the hell did I come to this
godforsaken
thing?
Jesus,
where the hell? How come they're not ready? Where aren't they calling me? How come... Jabron Comics is going and I'm not, you know, all this kind of stuff, right?
So I used to do shows obviously with you years
yep,
ago.
Yep.
I also used to do shows with my dad
right.
for sports cards.
Yes.
And that was always the, you know, they were always, the sports cards shows I always found were a little bit more stringent with the number of tables you could have and all
right,
that. So
right.
the deal behind that was you'd always try to go in early for the, you know, the early setup, the night before to bring the tables, bring all the stuff in. But then you'd always have to try to like go and find a couple extra tables because otherwise they make you pay extra money.
Yeah.
And I didn't want a bigger booth. I just want an extra table for behind the booth. Right. So you'd have to kind of go and like look for security and like, okay, he's walking over there. Go grab that table. And then you kind of go and steal one and come back.
Oh man.
But I tell you, one of the best load-in experiences I've ever had
uh-huh.
was in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And so we show up to the what I'll call like the it wasn't a big show, so it wasn't like a marshalling yard. It was
right.
just the loading unloading dock.
Right.
So we went to the loading dock, and you know we have our van full of stuff, and the guy says, "Okay, so you know what's going on?" I said, "Well, we're here. We're booth whatever." He goes, "Okay, just here's a skid. Put your comics on there." We're like, what did we put our comics on there?
Uh-huh.
And so, well, so we did. We didn't really pay much attention. And that guy comes along with a tow motor and a forklift and picks up all of our comics on the skid and brings it to our booth.
Right to the booth.
It was like, this is great.
No
lugging boxes of comics to and from the van.
I love it. You know, it's funny with comics because later on, comics turned, at the beginning, they were all just comics, right?
Right.
And then later on, comics became comics and toys. Graphic novels and cards and plushes and horror.
There was
700 different, you know, types of vendors.
Right.
I remember going to Ottawa once. I swear to God, maybe I shouldn't have said Ottawa. Can I change the city now or is it too
late? Sure. No, you can change it. It's fine.
It was, Regina. I was in Regina once, I think. And I went to the show. And Chris, I knew I was in trouble.
ReginaCon.
Yeah. I knew I was in trouble in my aisle. It was me. Beside me, there was a Remax real estate agent. Beside him, there was a guy selling sausages. You know, those dry sausages.
Oh, yeah, like yeah. Pepperoni.
Yeah, and then beside him, I think, was the slushy machine guy.
I know what you mean. I've been to a few cons.
Yeah.
Okay, so we both know that there's three types of cons.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's the con that has, like, you know, like the Fan Expo, where it's just comic dealers all the time.
Right.
Then you get the con that has... I'm going to put even Pittsburgh is in, like, the comic dealers, because it's just comic dealers.
Right.
Then you have the con that has, like, you know, the comic book dealer next to the guy selling insurance, next to the guy selling newspapers to try to get you a subscription, and then maybe there may be a toy dealer, and then the guy selling homemade coffee or something that.
Yeah.
So there's that con.
Yeah.
But there's another con that we haven't talked about yet. And that's also where we have the con where it's, you know, you get the comic book dealers. And then across the aisle is the ex-porn stars selling autographs.
I've been to that con before. I love that con.
So,
hey, yeah. Guy, you'll be there for a while. Let's come buy a book here. The lineup is huge. I remember that was the Motor City Con. I remember the one where Seika, Swedish porn queen, was.
She was there. Yeah,
she was there.
I think we were at that con together.
Yeah,
but not for her, of course.
No, not for her. But I did bring my
your collection to get autographed.
Collection to get autographed. Yeah. You know what I brought? I brought my Longfellow. I said, "Can you just sign on the inside?" That was really bad. That was a bad joke.
Yeah.
There was the one con, I think the top con. So the first year I went to New York. I'm setting up in New York. I'm like the king of the hill, buddy. I'm going to the New York City Comic Con to set up. And I go there. I guess it was a late, and they got us in at one booth. So I go there. We're in the corner. We're in some sort of hellhole corner where I don't think anybody goes.
Right.
I don't think the air circulates over there, to be the truth. Right? So, Chris, right across from us was this guy selling bobbleheads. What do you call those things?
Yeah.
Funko Pops?
Yeah, Funko Pops.
I don't think he had like four customers the whole show.
Oh, really?
Like, he just was miserable, right? And then beside us, there was a guy that made his own jewelry. With jade and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, and then the other side of us was a tattoo artist.
Oh my goodness.
He was giving guys tattoos. Oh. But the best guy was behind us. Him and his girlfriend, I think, they were like acrobats.
Oh.
And so they were going in the aisle and they would do these acrobat shows.
Cool.
But it wasn't cool because nobody could get through to our table. So there'd be this lineup, this clog of people watching this acrobat show for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, nobody's getting to my booth, guys. No. Can you kind of wrap this up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, what's going on here?
And,
oh, my God.
Did you sell anything?
Eh.
Yeah.
You know what we did? We did okay because we had like two guys come and drop $1 billion.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that helps for sure.
But without that, we're done.
Hey, so that you reminded me of a story, and I know you've told it before. I don't remember what the story was exactly, but weren't you next to a guy or knew a guy that was at a show that hadn't sold a single book all weekend?
Oh, yeah. The guy was from Quebec. And so it was another terrible show. So far, you don't remember at the beginning of the show, I said, let's have these positive reflections on cons. I don't think we've had one
yet. No, not yet.
Yeah. So we were at this terrible show. I mean, it was god awful. It was like dead on a Friday. And it was like, so I don't know. We were doing okay, I guess. We're, you know. So on our way out, I meet this guy. I won't mention his name, but he's, you know, from Quebec. And you know, the courteous thing with dealers is, hey, how'd you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, terrible. Oh, really? He goes, yeah. At, it was like close at 8. At 10 to 8, I sold my first book. And you know what, Walter? I go, what? I almost wanted to say, no, you cannot buy this, because I wanted to say, I didn't sell anything all day. That was my Serbian French.
I like that. That was good. That was good.
It was terrible. So that was funny. Hey, when are we going to switch to talking about how good cons
are? Okay. Listen.
Because
cons are good. They're great fun.
They are.
They're great fun.
hold on.
Oh, here we go.
So the early days of going to the U.S. cons, I remember the first time coming back across Canada Customs.
Yeah.
Right. So they asked us, you know, you have to have a manifest of whatever, of what you've sold.
Oh, right.
It's like, I don't have that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you better make one up. So I run downstairs and I tell the guys, I got to come up with what was sold. And then there's another dealer I know. He's running upstairs because he was there before me.
Yeah.
And so we're like chickens with our heads cut off trying to figure out, you know,
how to do the customs thing
back and forth. So it was definitely a learning curve.
I bet.
So many crazy little dumb things that we did wrong in those days, and just somehow it all worked out.
Do you remember the first con as a buyer that you ever went to, or as a collectibles guy, buyer, whatever?
I think I've been to what, 10 cons a year? No, maybe 8. 3. I've been to probably 300 cons.
Yeah.
I think 250 of them have been just as a dealer.
Oh, okay. But
maybe even more. Maybe not 300 cons. I've been to 200 cons, but 190 as a dealer.
Right.
Point. I've never hardly ever have been.
But even in the early years of your collecting, did you ever go to a con just as a... As a buyer instead of a dealer? Like the first time, so are you saying the first time you ever went to a con as a dealer?
I would go to those one day Toronto shows as a buyer.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was pretty good back then because I was young and focused.
Right.
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 Now I'm old and forgetful and not focused. Do you know what I mean?
I'm old, forgetful, not focused, and forgetful.
And forgetful. I think. But yeah, I was, Back then I was, you know, I liked going. The problem is, I'll tell you the difference between going as a civvy in 1984,
yeah,
as a, you know, 20-year-old on the ball, knows what I want.
Right.
And going in 2018 to New York or whenever it was when we went to civvies is, like I said, I was more focused back then, and I knew what I was going for, and I concentrated on doing it.
Right.
I was patient. I went through the bins. I was meticulous.
Yeah.
Haggled. I graded with my eyes. I was a hawk.
Right.
I looked for price, discrepancies that were to my benefit.
Yeah.
I was like, good.
Yeah.
Right. And then I went 30 years later. I'm like a bumbling idiot. I have no idea what to do. Well, you go in and there's like 800 things to do.
I know.
You don't know where to start.
I know.
So you end up doing none of them.
You sort of wander around doing nothing.
Mindlessly, you know, going humming, right?
I know. I get it.
I don't know if you're like that.
Well, I mean, certainly I was much more focused as a youngster. I mean, I think the first convention I ever went to as a fan, I used to go, as I said earlier, my dad was a card collector, so he would take me around. And back then, there wasn't a whole lot of shows that were strictly just comics or strictly just cards. It was sort of a mishmash. So I remember there was a Dream Con. It was at the Royal Connaught Hotel in downtown Hamilton or something.
Right,
like that.
Yeah.
And I remember going to it was my first foray into trying to get sketches and that kind of thing. It would have been like, I don't know, 12 at the time, not even knowing what to do and just buying whatever I liked and, you know, that kind of thing. And then, of course, going to one day shows in Toronto.
Toronto, right.
But then there were also like shows, and we're going to shows in the States, mm-hmm. Just at the convention center for comic book conventions mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, but getting back to what you're talking about, like being focused, I used to, you know, have my lists yeah. and I would know what I was doing and, yep. you know, okay. And especially because I was collecting both comics as well as artwork. So, sure. you know, first thing was always going and making sure to scope out the artists
yeah.
because you got to get early. If you want to get a sketch, you got to get in there right away. And then you'd start looking around and getting your comics. Now I kind of walk in and I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like Clouseau, where you're just sort of like looking around and, oh, is there a pizza place around yeah, here? I'm getting exactly. hungry, yeah. you know. And,
yeah. and where can I get a coffee?
Where can I get a coffee?
Well, so, hey, what was your favorite U.S. show that you frequented regularly? Was it Pittsburgh?
You know, it's Pittsburgh, or I used to really, I'm going to probably say Chicago.
Me too. Chicago, that Wizard World Chicago, and was it August all the time, or was it July?
I think it was July.
Yeah.
It was first at the, I believe, at the Radisson Hotel. It uh-huh. was just the Chicago Comic-Con.
And then it went to the
Donald Stevenson Center.
Out by the airport.
And became the Wizard Rosemont. World. Yeah, Rosemont. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that was a fantastic
show. Great show. Great show. Yeah, that was an amazing
You talk
show.
About earlier about that show had was right in every way. First of all, we used to always go to this restaurant called Bob Chin.
Bob Chin. Love that restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was the best restaurant ever. So the food was fantastic. And, and you know, I think the steaks were like 30 ounces or yeah. something ridiculous like that. But that had that optimal... It's Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, it's like big town. But the show was so big that it had your God Bless Them, your Hardly Yees, and your Metropolises
yep.
and all the big boys.
Yeah.
But it also had, you know, that guy out of his basement.
Right.
That old retired teacher.
It wasn't cost
from New York.
Yeah. It wasn't cost prohibitive for those guys to do that show.
Yeah, it wasn't cost prohibitive. So you had that nice mix of... You know, collectors trying to get rid of stuff they don't want anymore. And
yep.
that's where you can go really get a good deal. And, you know, it had your big corporate dealers as well. But it had literally every part of the rainbow, you know, from the left side where it's just, you know, Joe Blow doing their, you know, him and his buddy doing their first show together to get rid of stuff.
Yep.
All the way over to Metropolis on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great show.
The high-end books.
I remember buying a lot of Spideys at that show. Remember there was a year, just before Spidey really took off. And I remember buying a lot of early issues and like the below 50 for, you know, $5 each, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
It's just, that was an amazing show.
Yeah.
And just like the cons in general, I think one thing as we're kind of talking, I realize what we're missing with the shows is the drive down and the drive back, you know, with the guys.
Oh, absolutely. It's the camaraderie.
Yeah, the drive. It's the drive down, the drive back, the dinners
yeah,
at night.
Yeah.
I remember in Chicago, I'd never play, but my partner Mo back then, he would play. There'd be all the dealers would play poker games,
right?
Harley and those guys, they would all go and play poker games and stuff. And I'd never play. I wasn't a poker player. That's why they kept going, "Well, that's why we want you to play."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah.
But
it's just, you know what, you're right.
You know, like
it's,
the
it's
drive
camaraderie.
There, the drives back. We used to sing songs.
Yeah.
We used to make up rap songs. We used to just bust balls.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
balls.
Yeah.
Just that, you don't realize how great that is until it's
well,
gone.
You know, right? I haven't done a road trip in years,
right.
to like a you know, like even to like a Pittsburgh or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, last time I did it, it was believe it or not, I went on my my bachelor party, if you want to call it that.
Right.
Me and a whole bunch of my buddies yeah. were in my wedding party.
Yep.
We all went down to Pittsburgh, and so you know. I remember at the time, my friends were like, "Well, so did you go to the strippers and
yeah,
no. I went to a comic book convention.
I went to talk to Bernie Wrightson."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got some Zombie Tramp comics.
Yeah, I got some Zombie Tramp comics, and I talked to Bernie and all that stuff. But yeah, no, I think you know that's going to definitely be the part, and that's you know when we talk about COVID, right, Chris, and we talk about mental health, and I'm being totally serious, mm-hmm. here, right? We don't realize how you know being in a fabric of a community, I like that, going to a con together with the fellas or with the ladies and fellas, because it's mixed company sometimes.
Yep.
You take it so for granted.
Absolutely.
But it was so good for your soul.
Yeah.
It was so good for just getting stuff off your chest, having a good laugh, having a couple of drinks. And just kind of just, I don't know.
Well, let's be honest.
That has not been happening.
No.
And it's affecting us in a negative way.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Like, when we're talking about going to shows, the stuff, the collectibles, whatever it happens to be that you can buy anywhere.
Right.
You can buy them online now. You can get them on eBay.
Good point.
You can go to like online stores, you know, auction houses, that kind of thing. You can get that stuff, but you can't.
BigBComics.com.
BigBComics.com.
Yeah.
You know.
International Collectibles Exchange.
International Collectibles. Just as an example.
Just as an example. If you're going to throw a couple out.
International Collectibles Exchange.
iComicExchange.com,
those are,
I believe.
Great, great examples.
Yeah. I mean, well, why would you want to when you can go to a con? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. So what I was going to say was, why would you want to do that if you can go to a con? Because what you can't get when you're buying online is you can't get that experience of being there, that experience of the road trip down, all that stuff.
Chris, there were so many characters. You go to a con and it's like, you know how, I'm going to use an analogy. We're up in Canada, and it was a warm January.
Okay.
And so, you know, global warming and everything like that. And the last couple of days, a few days ago, it was like minus 13 at night. It was like a nice crisp minus 8 in the morning. And I remember getting up and going to my car and going, oh, this feels good. Like, it's late January and I'm cold.
Yeah.
Everything's right in the world.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know? And so... it's funny going to cons and seeing those characters, seeing that guy that has literally 6,000 sticky notes in his price guide. So he could leave like little sticky notes sticking out of his price guide.
Yeah.
You walk by and you see him there posting at that booth that he's going to spend the next 3.5 hours at.
Yeah.
You go, everything's right in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, he's there. Everything is good.
When I used to do the shows with my dad for cards, there was this grandfather and grandson, I guess.
Right.
Who would come in from Quebec, and the son would kind of take him around. You could tell he was interested, but not like the grandfather was. And
right.
He had this little book that he would always open up and like, you know, little tiny book with all these little tiny little notes. But the thing that I always remembered about him is he had a pair of glasses that he needed for reading, and one arm was a regular glasses arm, but he put a string instead of the arm on the other side, and he would wrap the string around his ear. So that way, and I asked him that. He said, well, because he has his head down all the time, his glasses kept falling off.
Uh-huh.
So he took the arm off and put a string on it and wrapped it around. It would wrap just the string around his ear, like kind of
right.
It wound it around his ear.
Wow.
So that he could like, he could
look down without the glasses sliding off.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's
and
it's
hardcore just, right there.
Well, and it's
that's
just
technique.
A beautiful, beautiful memory, right?
Yeah,
like just
yeah.
like here's a guy that's that interested,
uh-huh.
You know, that I love that kind of stuff, right? And it's so many characters, so many great people at those shows.
And that's the other thing you miss is you don't realize you miss these guys.
Oh yeah.
Until you miss these
guys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
And it's the guys, the dealers falling asleep at their booths. And...
oh my god, that's been me a couple times.
Yeah.
I usually go under the table. I don't know. I mean, I think what we're getting to is the human interaction, the human relationships that we develop over the years going to cons is, you know, you basically develop a community.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you basically develop a network. You basically develop associates, acquaintances, friends, all down the spectrum. To even just people just giving you a nod. Hey,
that's right.
It's nice to see you again, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I remember this one guy. He would always laugh at me because I would tell him I'm never giving him business again. Everybody's selling comics and everybody's selling things. He's selling comics, but right on his table, right up at the front, He's got this huge box of Mr. Big chocolate.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
I remember him, yeah, very
God
well.
God damn. So, yeah. So here I am, it's like 1 p.m. We ate at 9 a.m,
Yeah.
Or maybe it's 11:30 a.m. now, and you're a little peckish. You're walking around trying to get a deal, and you walk by the goddamn guy with the,
with the Mr. Big chocolate bars,
yeah. And you got to go buy one. And then you curse his name, and he laughs at you. Cause, oh, you'll be back.
Yeah.
I know I won't. Last time you see me.
Yeah.
And next day I'm back.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, it's like,
well, because it's either that or you have to leave the building
right.
to go get something. Or right. you go and buy something at their food
for
stand.
$92.
$92.
Right. Yeah.
Or you can buy a chocolate bar for $2.
For $2.
Or whatever it was. Yeah. Right.
And so, doing these things. And there's always it's not just everybody was a character. Like everybody was a character.
Oh, yeah.
When you go to cons and you go to enough cons and people listening that, you have your local cons that you go to, try to think in your head, you could probably come up with 10 caricature characters of people that you know.
I'm not
Remember that guy? Remember that girl? I remember the one guy. I love this guy. I'm not gonna mention any names.
You can't. Today. No, yeah. You can't.
I love this guy. He would set up and he would he'd be set up by himself. I'm bitching about carrying some comic boxes. This guy would lug in 81 video games. And he'd have that dolly, the mover's dolly?
Yeah.
Not like the mover's dolly where you have to kind of tilt the thing,
yes.
slide that thing under,
yes.
and then tilt it back onto you.
Right.
And so you'd have this truck, this massive truck. And we're
you mean talking about like the arcade
games,
style game
arcade
with
games.
the big cabinet.
This guy was a psychopath.
This guy
was a maniac. This guy would just be running back and forth, and he's like tireless, like Roger Ramjet took a proton pill or something,
right?
And he would just be running back and forth. Never in the years I've known him, never complained once.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
just kind of in his element, doing his thing,
yeah.
And just battling the elements, battling his, fighting his fight, I guess would be a good way to put it. This is what he put upon himself, right? And this is his now fight, and he's carrying it out.
That's what he wants to do.
Going from show to show, trying every time.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's doing well.
Yeah.
As you and I are talking, it's just the countless
dozens
of guys. You can literally write a book on this.
I remember being at one show, and at the time I was really interested in DC gothic horror comics.
Right, like Sinister, Secret House.
Yeah, all that kind of
Secrets.
Stuff. Yeah, House of Secrets, House
all
of Mystery.
All that late 60s stuff.
Yeah.
Cain and Abel stuff.
So I remember going up to him, and I'm not going to mention any names. I was at a con. I was one of this one dealer. I said, do you have any, Secrets of the Sinister House or whatever title was at the time?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, I don't know. And he turns around and goes, hey, Bob, do we get any Sinister Secret blah, blah, blah? And I couldn't help but laugh. But at the same time, I'm like, is he making fun of me? Like, I don't know whether to be ticked off at this or not.
Yeah. Then you get like, you grow. It's funny. The way cons work is you grow close to people, but they're not your friends. They are your friends, but they're your friends twice a year.
Right.
Three times a year.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But they're honorable people. They like you. You like them. You trust them. They trust you. Like Harley Yee.
Yeah.
We'll mention his name.
Yeah.
He's the hardest working man in comics. And well, he's a great,
wasn't it at the time he was doing 48 shows a year?
Oh, my God. He's just such a hardworking guy. I remember the one story with him was, again, going back to the old days when me and Mo were selling comics. We were selling Spideys, for $50. High grade Spideys back then. 12 centers would be like $50.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be if we sold a book for $100, that's, a good
big money
book.
Sure.
Right, back in the late 80s.
Sure.
Let's say. And we somehow happened upon a Batman 1.
Mm.
And so, we'd set up our wall. Right, we'd have Spidey 96, 97, 98, 100, 121, 122 at 50, 50, 150, whatever. And then right beside it, we had $2,000 Batman 1.
Oh, wow.
Whatever it was. Yeah, I think it was $2,000. So, of course, people would go, can I see that 122?
Yeah.
We'd be selling Spideys all day at FF, 52, whatever the heck we were selling. But that thing's just sat and sat. So Harley calls me one day and he goes, oh, yeah, Walt, yeah, what do you want for the bat, right? And so, you know, so we worked out a deal,
yeah,
right? And it was a restored thing. And so I remember this was on the phone.
Right.
So I remember, okay, I got to go meet Harley at a parking lot in Burlington, Ontario.
Okay,
because nice. He's in Toronto, I'm in Hamilton, but he's hustling through to Buffalo because he's got another show to do.
Right.
So I'll meet you, Harley, at the maybe Holiday Inn. Whatever, say Holiday Inn, a parking lot. So we meet there, and it was raining, and he had like a Ford minivan. So he lifted that hatchback up at the back. So we were both standing under it not to get wet.
Yeah.
And so I brought the book out and he looked at it and he goes, a little bit rougher than I thought. Right. And I go, yeah, Harley, do you still want it? And hey, the line stuck with me forever. Don't worry, Walt. We'll absorb the loss together. I go, what the hell does that mean, Harley? Absorb the loss together. That's what I'm going to do. And so he worked out an amicable deal. And
right.
We were able to get rid of the book and he was able to do all right.
Sure.
We saved face and that kind of stuff. But it was just, and you know what? And that was in the early days and Harley's treated us like gold ever since. And like I said, that's the type of character you get to know when you go to shows a lot, you know, just people that, you know, are good people.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we need to go to a show.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Now, the first show you're going to go to when things come back, let me ask you a personal question.
Sure.
Are you going to go to a fan expo?
It depends when. I don't know. Like, you know, with all this viruses going on and things like that, maybe if I got all my vaccinations,
right,
you know, I'd be more apt to go to something like that.
Right.
Would I, you know, I would rather go to, say, a Pittsburgh con than a fan expo.
Right. Because
it's a little bit smaller.
Yeah, a little bit smaller.
Or maybe a one-day show in Toronto. I'll go to those.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think, I think we will do the first one-day show or, you know. You're in, you're out. It's Sunday. You go in the morning, you leave at night. It's a very small footprint. You don't have to bring much. It just establishes you with that hardcore collecting community that will come.
Yeah.
So as a vendor, you know, it's important to go to that. I still, the jury's still out on those big ones. I really, like you say, I want the vaccines to work. I want people to gain confidence. I want things to get back. And then, I'm just not there in terms of committing to whether I'm going to do that or not.
I don't think I'm going to go to one this year.
Right.
Yeah. Like if Fan Expo is on, I won't probably won't go to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What was the at a con?
Yes.
Yeah. What was the most you dropped on one book at a con where you counted out the bills?
Oh, you know what? When I went to cons, I was never a big buyer of one or two books.
No?
I was always volume.
Right.
Volume. Looking for deals on mid-grade, or sorry, mid, not mid-grade, but like mid-end, I'll call it. Not high-end books, but not low-end books, but like good stuff, but not like, you know, $5 books. And I would just try to see how many collections, because back then I was more of a completist.
Right.
So I was more interested in trying to get all the books that I could for a good price.
Right.
But I think the only one I can think of is like, you know, $50, $100 maybe.
Oh, so not much.
No, not much. So I can't think of anything that I would spend like lots and lots of money on. So
now when you went to shows, did you also partake in the city? Like, did you?
You know, there is, it depends. It depends on who I was with.
Uh-huh.
I remember going to Chicago Con going with some friends. We went for a whole week.
Right.
Like we left on the Monday and then came and then saw all of Chicago throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then And this is back when the show was only 3 days.
Right.
So
right.
Then we go to the show on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then come home late Sunday night.
Yeah.
So I would spend like 4 days just seeing Chicago.
Right.
You know, going to the Taste of Chicago and going to
We all like that. I remember the one year we went to a Cubs game at Wrigley.
Yeah.
We went to the House of Blues.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we went to Buddy Guy's. It wasn't House of
Buddy
Blues.
Buddy Guy's, that's right. It could have been House of Blues.
We didn't go to House of Blues. We went to Buddy Guy's.
Oh, okay.
Went to one or the other. I think it was Buddy Guy's.
Okay.
We went to that famous pizzeria place.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I don't remember what it
was.
No.
Obviously, Bob Chin's was a standby every year. But it's nice to go. And of course, when we go to New York, we would try to drink in the city. And
right.
Well,
I remember you and I went to a comedy club once in New York.
Yeah.
And
yeah, remember that? That was I have to do that story.
I don't know. I wasn't going to bring it up.
I'll bring it up. So who was it? Me, you, Mark, Marty. Was Marty there? Shecky?
Marty was there. Yeah. Mark was there. I think it was the four of us, wasn't it?
And so I go, guys, the Rangers are in town.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get scalpers tickets because we went to Boston. We got scalpers for the Red Sox.
Yeah, went to Chicago.
Got scalpers for the Cubs.
Was it White Sox?
No, it was Cubs.
Was it?
It was Wrigley. We never had an issue with scalpers. Mm. So we go, okay. So I go and I talk to this fine gentleman. And I said, hey, four tickets.
Yeah.
I think it was like $60 each.
Yeah, or something like that. Maybe $50 each.
Yeah, and something 60, I think. Let's just say 60. And so he gave me four tickets, and I gave him $240. And we go over to the turnstiles. We get all excited. We get there, and the guy goes, sorry, boys, these things are fake.
Yeah.
So I get mad. I go, I'm going to find that mofo.
Yeah.
And they go, whoa, what are you doing? You can't go look for these guys.
They're going to kill you.
They'll kill you. So I was mad and I went and looked. And then, we kind of shrugged it off and went to a comedy club.
We went to a comedy club.
Laughed it off.
That was fun, yeah.
And then that was our New York experience of getting screwed over at a scalp.
Right? Yeah. And that made the story, right?
Right. Yeah. It ended in a good story. But Anyway, Chris, I think we could talk about.
Yeah, let's save some of the stories for the next time.
Yeah. 15.
All right. Listen, that was a good show. Any last words?
Yeah, I got some. Never mind.
All right, that's the end of that. All right. Well, okay. Have yourself a great day, everybody.
See you next week.